Perfect. Yo, what it do, everybody? It's your man Dre, aka Dre on Wheels. Y'all already know what it is. Welcome back, everyone, to the 1130 podcast. Talk Pro Wrestling. What's goody, everybody, doing out there? We made it back here for another week of Talk Pro Wrestling. Good morning, good night, good afternoon to all my listeners all across the world, wherever you may be at, Mexico, Germany, the States, man. All over the States, man. For real, it's going to be an exciting one. Appreciate everyone joining. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. Like, leave a comment, and do all that great stuff. And don't forget to follow the 1130 podcast on all social media platforms. But you guys, like I said, man, it's time to talk some pro wrestling. It's not 7:30, it's 11:30. It's time for to get into the podcast, man. Got a great guest joining me this week, you guys, man. Veteran referee that's been in the wrestling industry for some time, man. For real, we're gonna be chopping it up with him. Referee Vinny Lax is gonna be joining me this week, as you can see here on a Talk Pro Wrestling this week. For real, we're gonna chop it up about everything he got going on and everything, man. For real, it's gonna be fun. Before we do, shout out my guest who was on last week, Alex Kane, MLW Openweight Champion. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Speaking of the show, we're gonna get into it. We ain't gonna waste no more time. Vinny, what's going on, my guy?
Dre, thanks for having me, man. I love the energy.
Thank you.
I can only hope to keep up. That's one thing as a referee. Sometimes I don't have much personality to me. I have to admit that. That's one of the reasons I think I'm a good referee, though. I fade into the background, you know what I mean?
Hey, doing a pretty good job at it, man.
I like to think so.
Hey, that's what's up.
Thanks for having me on, man. These are always fun. I tell people all the time, like, referees, our voices don't get to get heard that often. So, you know, when I'm able to come on, tell my story, you know, talk a little about refereeing, about that side of the wrestling business, it's always interesting. So thanks for having me on. I appreciate looking out for the zebras.
Yeah, no problem, man. That's what I always try to do here on Talk Pro Wrestling. It's definitely, you know, because especially over the last couple of years, especially when the pandemic really hit, a lot of guys were, you know, out of work and wasn't wrestling or doing much stuff. So
I was in that boat.
Yeah, and I would have liked to, you know, shine light on, you know, different independent, because I always say everybody got a story, you know, where they come from and stuff like that. So, and I'm a big fan of wrestling. So this side on the wrestling podcast, I always definitely like to reach out to some awesome people. How life treating you?
Life's treating me pretty well, man. Like I was telling you before we came on, like today's my first day of summer vacation. My day job is an athletic trainer for a high school. So I'm off until August, and I'm gonna enjoy some time off.
Okay. How long you been you said athletic director?
Athletic trainer.
Athletic trainer.
Basically, long story, we deal handle all the sports medicine for the athletic team. That's
okay.
Athletic trainer stuff.
Okay. How long you been doing that?
I've been doing that since 2003. I graduated college in 2002, got my first job in 2003. That's actually how I got into pro wrestling, is through my job as an athletic trainer, because I met a guy who was coaching football for the school, and he happened to be promoting shows. He was a former wrestler, and that's kind of, we kind of hooked up, and we can get that story in a bit probably. But
hey, that's what's up. Hey, we can definitely get into that story, because you've been doing your thing for just about 20 years now, right?
I started in 2004, so I'm on, this is eight year number 18 now.
Yeah,
in a couple years we number 20, and I've been very lucky just to be a part of wrestling biz. I always like to say, like, it feels very weird for me to say that I'm in the wrestling business, because I've never done it full time. You know, I've done a lot on the independent level. You know, I've gotten to work with a lot of great talents who have done it full time for a very long time, and I'm very honored to be able to be part of that. But to say I'm like in the business is always kind of weird for me. So I always like to say, like, I'm business adjacent. Like, I'm near the business. I'm around the business.
Okay.
But to call myself in the business, because I've never done it full time, that's never been my full time bill paying gig, it does seem a little weird, but you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Well, how's it been going for you though?
Oh, it's been going great. Like I said, 18 years in wrestling. I've been spending, I think, almost 7 years now, I think, with Northeast Wrestling. Who's if you don't know, is one of the top promotions in the Northeast United States. You know, we bring in a lot of big names. I've gotten a lot of great opportunities to work with guys like, you know, the Hardy Boys, John Morrison, you know, Enzo, Cass, Ryback, you name it. Like Cody Rhodes, you know, he was our champion for a couple years, for about a year there, when he was left indie in between, you know, WWE and starting up AEW. So yeah, I've just been super lucky to be able to be in the ring with a lot of talented people, and hopefully take away things every time I step into the ring.
Okay, cool. You're a big fan of wrestling, I could tell, right? Because I checked the Twitch out, and I see you be playing WWF No Mercy.
I have been playing No Mercy. I started this morning, or a couple of weeks ago. I was playing this morning, though. Classic WWF game.
Yes,
I'm more of a fan of that era. That's when I became a fan. Mm-hmm. My fan journey, without getting too much detail, you know, I was a big fan of the Hulkamania era. That's when I grew up with wrestling, when I was first introduced to it. It was right around like the Hulkamania era, probably like around like WrestleMania 4 or 5. I think the first big angle I remember was Savage and Hogan, the big fight over when the Mega Powers exploded. So that was my first introduction to like wrestling around there. I remember like renting VHS tapes of like WrestleMania 4 and WrestleMania 3 and going back to like WrestleMania 1 and 2. I think I watched them in reverse order when I was a kid. Mm-hmm.
Coming from that time with Hulk Hogan and, you know, all those legendary guys at that point in the 80s and really where wrestling started to pop. What was your thoughts on the transition?
Oh, from to the 90s?
Yeah.
Well, in the mid 90s, the new generation era happened first. And that's when I kind of fell off. It was also probably my age too, right? You start becoming a teenager, you get into other things, you start doing, you know, you're busy, you know, doing things other than watching wrestling. Yeah. I kind of watched here and there a little bit, but I wasn't obviously into it. And then obviously the Attitude Era exploded. And that was when I was in college. And I remember my freshman year of college watching somebody had taped the episode of Raw where Mankind was in the hospital, or Vince was in the hospital. Mankind came to visit him, and the whole Socko thing. And then someone had that on VHS, and I watched that, and I was like, "Oh man, this is really cool! Like this is awesome again." So, and that's when I really, really got into wrestling. You know, the internet scene was starting to blow up a little bit. Like there were a lot of message boards out there. So, you know, I hate the term smart bar, but I was kind of one back before I started doing this myself. I have to admit, I was probably, you know, one of those guys on the internet on the message boards giving my opinion, even though I probably didn't know. Definitely didn't know half of what I needed to know.
Hey, that's what's up. That's what's up. Hey,
it was fun. That was a great time to be a fan. The Attitude Era was just
It's great time, man. Great time. Well, take us through this journey of how everything began for you as a ref. I know you were saying things kind of like started for you when you were as a
athletic trainer. So I, you know, I got my first job working at a high school, the school that I'm still at right now. And one of the football coaches at the time, his name was Jeff Leibolt. He wrestled as JL Storm around the Northeast area. If you're an older school wrestling fan, you might recognize the name. He did have some, like, you know, enhancement talent matches with the WWF when they were in the area and stuff like that. But at the time he was promoting a wrestling company called Tri-State Wrestling up in Vermont. Rutland, Vermont is where they usually based a lot of their shows out of. Mm-hmm. And I met him, and, you know, we got to talk about wrestling. He told me, you know, how he used to wrestle and in front of the promotion, blah, blah, blah. He's like, "Oh, you know, you want to come up to a show?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I was like, I always wanted to do something. I knew, like, being 5'8", not the most athletic person in the world. You know, I played sports, but was never, like, excelled at it. I definitely not a big weightlifter. Like, you know, I do work out, but it's never been like heavy bodybuilding type style. Like, I'm never trying to get big or anything. It's just more like kind of like leaning out and staying healthy type deal. So I knew I was never going to be like make a convincing wrestler. But I knew like I could have a role. And I think refereeing, I thought, was like, that's something that is, you know, I thought it was easy. It's obviously not as easy as I know it is now. So I asked him, I was like, "Hey, you know, do you think I could referee?" And him being a good promoter, because there are a lot of promoters out there that will just throw referees into the fire, which is not the right way to do it. But him being, you know, smart about the business and being a good promoter, he said, "Well, there's a wrestling school down in Newburgh, New York, which is about 45 minutes away from where I am." He's like, it was run by Tony DeVito from ECW. And he brought me, he's like, I'm going to take you to the school. You can, you know, you can practice refereeing there. You can learn how to take a bump. You can learn how to hit the ropes. You can, you know, take a lot of the moves. I wasn't very good at it, I'm not going to lie, mm-hmm. but you know, I was good enough. I got my experience enough up to actually referee in the ring in front of a live crowd. Okay. And I got to do that. And like I said, it was like the spring of 2004. I wish I could remember the right day. I really wish, going back, I wrote down a lot of the like things like that I've done. Like I know a lot of people have a log and they'll write down like every match they had and like what every event they've had, and they'll keep notebooks of it. And I never really thought I'd be doing this for this long, to be honest. I thought it was something that I had a friend who was in the business. I would help him out, maybe do a couple shows, but I go there, do the show. And a buddy of mine I went to college with, his wrestling name is Osiris. He wrestles around the Massachusetts area mostly. He surprised me. I didn't know he was coming, but I told him, I was like, oh yeah, no, I'm gonna referee a show. So he came to the show and he brought along a friend of his, this little kid, Zach the ref. He was a kid at the time. He's been reffing a little bit in like the New England area. And he was like, how long you been reffing? And I was like, that was my first show. He's like, oh my God. He's like, you know, let me talk to some guys. I can get you some work. And so like, you know, he actually really helped me out a lot, even though at the time he was literally like, I think like 14, 15 years old, refereeing professional wrestling, but he really did help me out, like getting my foot in the door in a bunch of places in, around the New England area. And then like anyone will tell you, like, that's how you just branch out. Like that's how your career just like, you go here, and then someone else meets you and goes, oh, do you want to work here? And you go, okay, work there. And like your career just kind of like branches out into like a path that ended up at where I always wanted to be, and that's Northeast Wrestling. I watched Northeast Wrestling when I was in college as a wrestling fan. Like that was the first like independent wrestling experience that I got. So that was always like the big company in the Northeast, and I was like, I'd love to work for them someday. And you know, like I said, the paths branched out. Tony DeVito got me in this company called Defiant Pro Wrestling, run by Jason Knight and Mike Milano. That moved me into a company called Connecticut Wrestling Entertainment that was run by and booked by Joey Brucco, who was running in the Bethany Town Hall, which is now known as the Northeast Wrestling Arena, because after he shut down his promotion, Northeast Wrestling kind of came in there. And I have to give a shout out to Brian Anthony, Mr. Northeast Wrestling, because he was one of the guys who really pushed for me to get hired at Northeast Wrestling by Michael Lombardi. So okay. he was one of the guys that really got me my foot in the door with them. And that's, like I said, that's really was really like where I wanted to be at some point in my career. Okay. And I made it. And my other goal was to, you know, referee at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. It's where I saw my first wrestling show. And I got a chance to do that through Northeast Wrestling. So like, I'm like I said, I've never done this full time. I've never worked for the big companies. I've never been on TV, but I'm very blessed to be where I am in wrestling. Hey. It's been a crazy trip. I love it.
Hey, you gotta be blessed, man. You've done a lot. You definitely done a lot. You spoke on about being a wrestler. You said you really didn't, you know, have it all shaped out to be, though. Did you want to be a wrestler?
Never wanted to be a wrestler. If any character I would be, it'd be probably more of a manager.
Okay.
I don't like getting hurt. I'll be honest with you, that's especially because I have, you know, the medical background. I know the things that can happen to me. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm good. I'm good taking one bump to show, maybe. Like,
okay.
Not a whole match, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Okay. I can dig that. Well, I had a couple of, you know, guys on, you know, wrestlers, and I always ask them, you know, kind of like the journey of, you know, becoming a wrestler and stuff like that, and how training goes. Well, how is it specifically for referees? And so you also.
Well, I'll always tell every referee to train as a wrestler. And I did kind of train as a wrestler. I learned how to lock up. I learned how to chain. I don't think I could do it anymore, but you know, I learned how to do a little chain wrestling. I learned how to give some moves. I was never going to be, you know, giving Germans out there in practice because I didn't feel comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've given vertical suplexes, I've given body slams, I've, you know, hip tosses, you know, those kind of deals. you know, I know how to throw a punch. I know how to throw kicks. Like I can do that. Like I said, I can lock up and chain a little bit. But mainly it was just focusing on, you know, ring positioning, you know, in kind of relation to where the wrestlers are, you know, how to react to things. More importantly, like, you know, how to communicate in the ring is something that is very important. And you learn that in school, but you also definitely learn that when you're in the ring, kind of on the fly, like how to, people don't really understand, like who have never wrestled, don't really understand how much communication needs to happen in the ring at all times.
Okay.
And that part, you know, kind of falls on the referee sometimes. Because if your opponents are far apart, and you know somebody wants to relay a message, not only do you have to do that, you have to do it inconspicuously so it's not too obvious to the fans. So like I said, a lot of fans don't realize how much communication and talking actually goes on in that ring. I know, you know, if you watch Botchamania, they got the "you talk too much" segment.
Yeah,
so you know what happens.
Yeah,
but I don't think people realize how much it happens, and that's part of being a skilled referee. Is like I said, it's not only to be able to pass on the messages, but to do it so you're not giving it away. Like, oh, he just told him something.
You know what I mean? Okay. And you just saying, I was just about to say, you know, how much goes into it, you know, because I know you got to keep it, you know, very discreet and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So, you know, it comes with like, you'll always have a lot of movement to you, right? Not in a distracting way, but if you're always checking on guys and you're always talking to them about things, like giving them warnings and whatnot, like you can slip in messages if you're always moving around. So little things like that, you know, you wouldn't really think of, but because you don't think of it, it's a good thing because, you know, it, like I said, it keeps that illusion. Cause you know, wrestling is all about it's a magic show, right? It's a magic show. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's a choreographed, combat like sport. So there's a lot to it. And, you know, being able to, everyone had be on the same page is very important to the overall product, if you will, right?
Okay. Yeah. How long did it take for you to get into your groove? You also talk about people get thrown under the bus or so.
Yeah. To be honest with you, you know, I think wrestling, and I think a lot of wrestlers go through this too. There's like a weird curve where you're like, you start off and you're like, oh, I think I know what wrestling is. And then you realize, no, you don't know anything about wrestling. You've watched it as a fan. You have no idea what's going on in the ring. And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, I know what's going on. I know what's going on again, right? After maybe a couple of years, depending on how busy you are and stuff. And then you get to another point and you realize like you don't know as much as you think you know. And then and once you get to the point where you're like, I'm always learning, even guys I work with who've been doing this, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years, I think they take every opportunity to continue to learn. Like you're never perfect, right? So unless you're Kurt Hennig, that was a good, anyway, I thought that was a good joke. Anyway. but you know what I mean? Like you're always trying to get better. And even me doing, like I said, doing this 18 years, I go into every match trying to get better. All right. And trying to pick something up where I can learn or I can build on it.
Have you had the chance to work with some of these great guys that you've been in the business with? Who has been some of the great guys or women that you had the
chance God, to like work I with? Said, you know, guys like Cody Rhodes, Mickie James. You know who I learned a lot from? I refereed two of his matches when he was in Northeast Wrestling, was Joey Mercury. Mm. Guy has a great mind for wrestling business. Has a great mind for putting matches together, telling a story, because that's what, and you know, you hear that all the time, that's what wrestling is, it's telling a story. Mm-hmm. But to be able to tell like a really good story is a lot harder than people, you know, give it credit for. And I, you know, he's one of the best that I've ever worked with at doing that. Cody Rhodes too is a guy that just like comes into every match with, he always wants new ideas, always wants to push the envelope, always has something that he wants to try, you know what I mean? Very, very passionate. Guys like Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, the Young Bucks. That was actually like one of my first big main events that I'd done for Northeast Wrestling. Was the first time the Hardys and the Young Bucks wrestled. Guys like Rey Mysterio, always fun to work with. I mean, those are the name drops for the big names. You know what I mean? But, you know, there's guys, too, that, like, I love working with at Northeast Wrestling, and I've been working with for a long time in the Northeast area. Guys like, you know, Brian Anthony, I mentioned before, I love working with him. Every time I get a chance, we get a chance to have a match together, it's always a lot of fun. Okay.
Yeah. It sounds very satisfying, though. I have
such a good time. Sometimes when I'm trying to think of names, like your name blanks, and then but I also want to mention guys like JT Dunn, so you know, always good to work with.
Yeah,
even a guy like I've known Chris Battle now for almost probably 12-13 years. Fun, always a good time working with a guy like when you know him real well like that. Chris is a great wrestler. Okay. I actually got to referee him and Brian Danielson once for Connecticut Wrestling Entertainment. That was a pretty good experience.
Yeah, yeah. What's been the most satisfying part about all of this though for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, it's such a cliche thing to say, I feel like, but the fans, like I love being out there, and like I know it's not particularly me getting the reaction, but it's just being a part of like. Getting that reaction when there's like a, especially like I think any referee will tell you one of the best feelings for a referee is when there's like a really good false finish and everyone in the building thinks that's the end of the match and it's not and you pull that arm and you give them the two and the crowd goes crazy. You know, I know it's the wrestler's responsible for getting to that point, but I feel like a really good referee can just put the cherry on top of that sundae. You know what I'm saying? That's all. I wanted to give our Northeast Wrestling Heavyweight Champion right now, Dan Moff, who's been wrestling forever. I've been lucky enough to work with him now on the past couple shows, going on almost probably like 6 months now. I think I've done a lot of his matches, and he's just so much fun to work with. He's just one of those guys who's just like. He's there for it. He's one of those another guys who's just like always wants to push the envelope, always wants no matter what it is, always wants to give the crowd like the best show like that that he can. And like I have a great team. We had a really good match the month previous. What he wrestled Flip Gordon was really good, and then just this week went this past weekend he wrestled Vincent from Impact.
Okay.
That match was incredible. I've been working with Vinny now for a long time. You know, whenever he's in the area, because he's a Massachusetts guy, or actually he's from Rhode Island, but you know he came up in the Northeast New England area. So
okay,
I've known him for a while now too.
Okay, what's some best advice that you have taken from the wrestling business? Obviously, you mentioned Joey Mercury and stuff like that, but what's some of the best advice, and also advice for up and coming guys or girls who you know who's looking to get into the business, perhaps to become a referee or just you know a wrestler?
Yeah, I mean, the most basic advice I can give you is definitely go get trained by someone reputable.
And someone who's not going to steal your money, right?
So yeah, make sure you do your research. Do your research. If you talk to people, they'll be honest with you. They'll tell you, you know, who the best schools around you are and where to go. You know, that's pretty obvious. One good piece of advice I got as a referee. This was actually from Tommy Dreamer. He said, before a match, like that's your time, right? When the introductions are going on, like especially back then, like we don't really check the wrestlers anymore. But like if there's like a you know, when they're doing their entrances, right? And like, and the heel usually comes out first, and the heels, you know, get some heat, and the baby face comes out. And if the heel wants to try and like attack the, you know, the baby face, like that's your job to be like, no, like you're the authority in that, you know? So that's kind of the referee's time to get their story as the, you know, the authority in the ring over, is a good time to do that. You know, that's the thing too. Always be authoritative in that ring. I think a lot of referees when they're starting out are a little bit hesitant to like get in the wrestler's way. There's times for it, and like you know that comes with experience and learning. But you are like in charge in there, right? Kayfabe wise. you are in charge of the match. Like if you watch a boxing match or you watch MMA, like the wrestlers have to listen to you or they will not win the match. And the whole idea about wrestling is people forget this all the time. The whole idea about wrestling is to win the matches. You know, the top layer is like entertain the crowd, but what's underneath it is like what the kayfabe is, which is even a weird term nowadays, I feel like, because, you know,
everyone's
pretty smart to the business now. It's 2022. Yeah. You know, it's been 23 years since Exposing the Wrestling Business was on NBC. Yeah. Remember that show? That was a funny. I remember watching that because I wasn't in the business yet. I remember watching that. That was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, because I knew that was like the most basic, like smart mark. Like if you're on the internet, you knew those tricks. But you know what I mean. So that whole illusion of you being in charge of the match, you know, you have to put that out there, right? You need to show it, or you're just not going to look. It's going to look like you're useless in there. And what's the point of being in there if you're going to be useless? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get you. Okay. What keeps you inspired? You know.
That's a great question. You know, you've been doing this 18 years, and again, it's so hard to explain the feeling that you have in the ring when there's a big match or any match going on. But when the crowd like responds to it, and you get that, like, even though it's not like as a referee, they're not booing or cheering you. Sometimes they do, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. But just to be part of that, like that crowd, you feel you really do feel energy coming off the crowd, and it's such an adrenaline rush. And I think that's why people get so so addicted to being part of wrestling. I mean, you hear all the stories, especially back in the day, guys, like, you know, number one, it was they had to pay the bills, but number two, it was like they couldn't stop that getting that feeling they got from being inside a wrestling ring and feeding off the crowd, that energy, and just it's such a hard feeling to describe, honestly. You just feel like almost like empowered, I guess. I don't know. It's hard. Like I said, I don't really have the words for it. That's not my job. That's why I referee. I'm not here to cut promos. Like, hey, I'm very good at blending into the background. So
I dig it. I definitely dig it. I know it's some indescribable feeling going out there, and I think I was just talking to myself about this, man. Just going out there, and it don't even matter how many people, man. Just that adrenaline rush, you know, and hearing the fans, you know, cheering stuff like that. But before we move on, you guys, we're gonna move on here on the podcast. I want to hear your thoughts on it. News broke, Alfie, this past weekend. I know you don't keep up with mostly the current product of wrestling, though. But I know you heard the news where Jeff Hardy has been arrested and suspended from AEW. Me personally, I think, man, like, after hearing this, because a buddy shared the mask, because we do the commission talks, but he shared the news, and I was like, wow, like, I thought Jeff was, you know, getting back to a point where, you know, he's good, you know, but I understand that he's been dealing with this for a long time, and addiction is very, very serious, and mental health is serious, and obviously what he does for a living takes a toll on your body in general, though. But, what's your thoughts on the situation with Jeff Hardy?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've worked with Jeff a few times. I don't know him personally. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I do, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what's going on in his life and his day to day life. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do hope he gets the help that he needs, and I hope he's ready to accept that. From what it sounds like, things are going in the right direction. I think, you know, sometimes it just takes, you know, a realization, and, you know, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully he gets the help that he needs, and hopefully everything turns out all right for him. He's always been really good in the locker room. He's always been a lot of fun to work. I got to referee a match with him and Jushin Thunder Liger at Dutchess Stadium once. That's on YouTube. If you want to check out that match, I recommend it.
I would definitely.
It was a really good match. Yeah, that's one of our free matches on YouTube. So go check that out, Northeast Wrestling on YouTube. But yeah, like I said, like I'm not gonna sit here and know what's going on in that dude's life. It's not an easy life to be a wrestler, especially for as long as he's been doing this. So, you know, I wish him the best. I really do. I'm glad that nobody got seriously injured. You know, that's the most important thing. And I, like I said, I wish him the best. I hope to see him down the road someday.
Yes, definitely. Definitely wish him the best, man. For real. But you guys, we're going to move on here on the podcast. Vinny Lax, man, you got some big events that you're going to be coming up, big events that you're going to be reffing at coming up,
we
right?
We do. Always check out the NortheastWrestling.com website if you're in the Northeast area or if you like to travel. Hey. But this weekend, July 18th, we got a huge show at Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey. And it's always one of the most entertaining shows of the year that we put on. We've been lucky enough to be partner with Six Flags, I think, for the past 3 years or so at Northeast Wrestling. Well, there was obviously the 1 year we couldn't do. But it's always a very entertaining show. We have a huge meet and greet with a lot of stars, a lot of autograph signings going on. So definitely check that one out. We're back in the Bethany Town Hall, the Northeast Wrestling Arena. I believe the date is July 16th. That's our Heat Wave show. That's going to be a good one. And then, a bunch of shows coming up, which I'm unfortunately going to miss because I'm on vacation, but just because I'm not there, don't, you know, still go because you're going to be entertained. Our big show at the Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, July 23rd, I believe is the date on that one. That's going to be that's always a huge, huge show when we run there. So check that out. Check out the NortheastWrestling.com website. That's my main company right now. I also work for a company called Pioneer Valley Professional Wrestling. You can check those out. They have a Facebook page. So go check out their Facebook page. We run out of the Springfield, Massachusetts area. A friend of mine, Justin Hammer-Tunis, is doing a great job with that company. And it's a lot of fun to work for.
Okay, gotcha. You guys, man, go check out NortheastWrestling.com. If you're in the area, man, go check out, man, for real. If you're in the area and you want to go to Six Flags to meet some great guys, I hear Mickey James.
Go on some Eddie coasters, Houston. Watch some wrestling.
Yes,
The wrestling event is free with admission to the park.
Yeah,
Medi-Cal we also Black. Have some premium ringside seats available. I believe there's some still available, so check out the website.
Yeah,
but great. It's always a great day. You know, you get to go on some roller coasters, get some wrestling in, and take it all in.
That sounds fun. That sounds really, really fun.
It's like I said, it's one of the most entertaining shows that we do. I'll tell a quick story. Brian Anthony was talking about before. We had a match. This was I think last year with Jerry Lawler, and he has this great idea. He's like, I'm gonna take Jerry Lawler's crown. Right, I'm gonna knock Jerry out. I'm gonna take his crown, and I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm gonna tell you to hold it on your foot like a football, because I'm gonna kick it. And so we set it up, and he's like, all right, this is what I want you to do. But I hold it up. He knocks Jerry out, grabs the crown, like shoves it in my chest, like you hold it down. He's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do it to Jerry's crown. No, you do it, and threaten me. So I do it. He runs up. And I pull the crown away, like Lucy pulls the football from Charlie Brown. And here comes Brian, goes to throw the kick. He flips up in the air. I'm like, no, you can't do that to Jerry the King Lawler's crown. Jerry gets up, punches, give him the stunner. Bam, 1, 2, 3. It was
that's great. Awesome.
It was very one of my favorite endings to a match I've ever done.
That's awesome, man. That's definitely awesome. You guys, man, this has been a dope show here on Talk Pro Wrestling this week. But before we wrap it up, you guys, man, we're bringing back a segment that I usually have on the main show after last week. We're going to continue it here on Talk Pro Wrestling, you guys. It's time for the 1130 podcast. Hot seat, you guys. All right. Benny Lex.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you. It's time for the hot seat. Vinny, I got 6 questions for you, and we're going to roll with it. You ready?
Let's go.
All right. Have you ever had to call off a match?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Or reason or whatever come to mind.
Somebody was seriously injured. Put it like that.
Okay, cool. Somebody
was seriously injured. That's happened twice. Once was extremely serious. But yeah, another time, someone took a dive through a table, and I got to him. I checked on him, and he was out. He had no response, so I called the X, called the match off, and
oh wow, okay.
The other time, I don't like to talk about it too much, but I was involved with a match where someone actually passed away. Wow. It was very early in my career, and it almost led me to quit wrestling. Yeah. But Very, very sad story. But like I said,
yeah.
I
okay.
I don't want to bring it down too much now.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, what's your thoughts on the industry today?
I would like to see more characters. I think they always build up like really interesting characters, only to then they disappear. I think wrestling needs to find wrestling again. I feel like there's a little while there. They're thinking they want to be MMA, but a fake MMA. Which they're not. They're wrestling. Bring back the cartoon era. Bring back crazy stuff. Like the stuff like Bray Wyatt was doing. And like people love that, and I don't know why they don't do more of that.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree. What was your favorite match, you ref or as a fan?
Oh God, favorite match as a ref. One match that always sticks out that I think people would be surprised to say was a match between John Morrison and JT Dunn. It was at a baseball stadium, I think, in Connecticut. Just everything went perfect, and it was just like one of those matches that everything clicked, and it was just a really fun match to do. I mean, I could name a bunch of matches, like that one always sticks out as like one of my top favorites.
Okay,
I could go on and on. I could talk about some of the matches.
Yeah,
like, I always want to give like a shout out to like the Jushin Liger Jeff Hardy matches, because that was just like such an iconic match for me to be in the middle of those two guys. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, cool. Who's your favorite person to rap with on the road?
Oh, you know what? I gotta give a shout out to referee Chris D'Antonio. We usually ride together to Northeast wrestling shows. We've been doing a lot of road trips lately. He lives a little bit south of me, so it's kind of on the way. So we meet up, and it's always a good time riding with him. Another good car we do those trips out to Ohio once a year. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss this year, but it's like a 6-hour drive, which is for me pretty long. You know, I'm not one of these guys that travel over the country to wrestle. But 6 hours is a pretty long trip for me.
Yeah.
But we had a great car. It was Brian Anthony, Daniel Evans, and Vito and myself in a car, and that was a very fun road trip.
Okay. Cool. Sounds very fun. Who do you call to when you're having a rough day?
My wife.
Cool.
Of course. She's amazing. I got to give a shout out to my wife, Claire. She'll probably watch this. That's how awesome of a wife she is.
Hey,
she always does listen to all the podcasts and stuff that I do.
Oh, that's awesome. Shout out wifey. Okay.
Very supportive.
Okay. What's your go-to meal after an event?
Usually McDonald's, because it's usually the only thing that's open. If you know, when I was a little bit younger and a little bit more in the mood to like hang out after shows and stuff like that, we could go to like Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm a big Buffalo Wild Wings fan.
Okay.
Which is why, you know, gained like 20 pounds, you know, when the pandemic hit, because I was just sitting at home and a Buffalo Wild Wings opened in my town, and I was like, oh man, chicken tenders. I love the habanero, that mango habanero sauce. It's hot, but perfectly, like, I love it.
Hey, that's what's up. That's real cool. Look at Vinny Lax, man. I appreciate you coming through here.
Oh, that was six already. Awesome.
The 11:30 podcast, man. This was cool. Really, really cool.
I'm so happy to be on. Like, I love these things. Like I said, I don't get to talk that much. I'm not always the biggest personality in the room. So to, you know, to be able to come on and talk and share my story. If you want to hear me talk some more, come follow the channel at Referee Vinny Lax on Twitch. All right. Word spelled out referee, VINNIE with a and LAX, and I've been streaming some fun video games, a lot of retro stuff, and I've been having a great time on that. I'm almost to affiliate status. That's why I'm really trying to push this hard. Get me over the top to that 50th follower, and
hey, we're gonna definitely try to help you do that, man. Before you go, any questions, any shout outs, anything you'd like to say?
I think I shouted out and everyone I could shout out. Obviously, if I haven't mentioned, like, you know, Michael Lombardi, the, you know, president and promoter of Northeast Wrestling, he's, you know, taking care of me, and I do appreciate working for that company, because it's just been a blast, and I've gotten to do a lot of cool things with it. So
okay,
I appreciate that.
So, okay, cool.
And everybody else, I think I shouted out. I want to shout you out, because you were amazing. This is a great experience. Like this is fun. You do a great job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot. Thank you, man. For real, this was a great show. I'm always tongue-tied. I'm always excited. This was great, man, chatting with you. For real. Great stories, man, and great adventures. Great journey that you've been doing, man. And,
I hope to see you at a show someday, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely stop by, say hi.
Got to. Vinny Mac, I appreciate you joining me this week here on the 11:30 Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Cheers.
just learned something today. Rhino, the vagina is a muscle. It has to be massaged. You know, you ever heard of muscle memory? You use their kinkle balls.
Like when you inside of it, they can actually squeeze on you while you're inside of it, bro. That's a fucking muscle reflexion.
Yeah. Rhino, what the fuck?
Sanitized. 1 million faces protected. 400,000 rail cars disinfected. We're humming right along, keeping you safe when you ride Metro.
Yo, what up? This your boy Kenneth Stones, AJ Coffee Weason.
This your boy DOE Good Brother Bowl.
And we are the Dirty Hills. You already know, man, you tuning in to 1130 Podcast. Not 7:30, but 1130.
Dude, that's my job. Not 7:30, but 1130.
Yeah. And you have been
Dirty Hills approved.
Yo, we back here on Talk Pro Wrestling. Appreciate everyone sticking with me throughout the short commercial break, man. For real. Yo, Vinny Lax, thank you so much for coming through here on the 1130 Podcast. Talk Pro Wrestling this week, man. It was a really great show. Great time chopping it up with you, my guy, on your 18, going on 20-year career in the wrestling industry, man. He said he never been on TV and everything like that, but look at it, man. Look, it's always how you look at things, man, the perspective, man. So look at it. You've been doing a hell of a job for yourself in the wrestling industry for the last 20 years. So that's what's dope, man. For real, you guys, the links will be down below if you want to learn more about Vinny, man, or just go watch him play some retro games like Super Mario Brothers or WWF No Mercy on Twitch. The links will be down below. Subscribe to his YouTube channel. If you're in the Northeast area, go to a Northeast event, man. For real, Northeast Wrestling, they're going to have some great shows. Great event coming up this weekend at Six Flags, I believe, Slam Fest. It's going to be awesome. We got Eddie Kingston, Mickey James, Malachi Black, Mick Foley, a lot of great talent that's going to be in the area. So if you want to get out and about, go check it out, man. For real, this was great. Thank you once again, referee Vinny Lax, for coming through here this week on Talk Pro Wrestling. Before we wrap it on up, man, yo, big shout out to Get It Off Your Chest podcast, my guys over there. Hey, yo, you guys keep killing it and keep going up, man, because you guys going all the way to the top, for real. So shout out to the Get It Off Your Chest podcast. If you haven't done so already, get caught up and go subscribe to the Get It Off Your Chest podcast on YouTube. Also, go check out and subscribe to Buzzing with Marlo if you haven't done so already. My guy is on break right now, so go catch up. Go check out all the dope episodes all the way leading up to the 100 episode and also leading up to the 99 episode, because Commission Talks, we was there. We was chatting it up before we went on break. We'll be back sometime in September or so, you know. I'm going to be a dad, so in the coming weeks, actually in 2 weeks, it will be the wrap-up show here, the last show for a couple of months or so. But definitely I will be back here to talk my crap and with amazing guests each and every week here on Talk Pro Wrestling, man. And also, Off the Top Ropes podcast, my guy Blackheart, he returns. OTTR returns July 29th, the day before SummerSlam. So, man, to get all caught up and get ready, get at him, man. And also, Clock Street Wrestling podcast, man, all new episodes is out right now. So tap in with my guys, man. For real, Dirty Hills also, man. For real, it's going up. Yo, this has been a great show. I ain't about to keep rambling on with you guys, man. Yeah, this was fun. Also, man, prayers go out to Jeff Hardy. I hope he get all the help that he need, man, for real. And I was listening to and checking out the interview where Booker T was saying, and I know Booker T, he say a whole lot of crazy stuff nowadays, but, you know, just everything that Jeff, you know,
been putting himself through. And like Vinny said, I'm not going to pretend like I know him or knowing his situation. But, you know, from seeing going off the top ladder, especially what was that match that him and Darby Allin had, man, I was like, boy, whew. But, man, just, you know, he's still able to go and still able to move to this day. And they were going to have a triple threat ladder match this past week on Dynamite, and that did not take place due to Jeff Hardy getting suspended. So, yo, man, prayers go out to Jeff, and he get his help, man, for real. But, yo, man, it's Friday once again. If you're tuning in to wrestling tonight, who you guys got? Man, it's not even a question of who you guys got. It's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. The Tribal Chief will do in Riddle, and that's just going to be it, man, for real. But, yeah, man, it's just a bunch of wrestling going down tonight. Rampage, SmackDown, independent wrestling all over the weekend, man. So you guys enjoy wrestling, get your hands on it. And like I said earlier, and like my man Vinny said, if you're in the Northeast area, go to northeastwrestling.com, pick up your tickets, go to Slam Fest, Six Flags, ride some roller coasters. You just meet some wrestlers, man. It don't get no better than that, right? To me, it don't get no better than that. But yo, man, this has been a great show, a great Friday, you guys. Before I head on out of here, you guys, one more time, wrapping up the podcast in 2 weeks, you guys. Yes, in 2 weeks, it will be the last episode. I'm going to be a dad, so I'm going to go off and enjoy the summer and, you know, become a dad. And when I come back, got a great and amazing stories that I can't wait to share with the world, man. So, definitely, well, this is going to lead into my next one. So definitely follow me on social media for everything, man, for real. But you know what time it is. Don't forget to follow The 1130 Podcast on all social media platforms. Follow me on Twitter at The 1130 Podcast. Like The 1130 Podcast on Facebook. And if you haven't done so, this entire episode, man, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button down below. Yes, here on YouTube. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or iHeartRadio, leave a 5-star rating, share it, tell a friend about The 1130 Podcast, for real. An all-new episode of The 1130 Podcast, streaming this Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10:30 Central, only on YouTube, man, for real. This was a dope, man. This was a dope show. For real, man. Dope, dope show. Get caught up on latest episodes. If you want to wait till the break, that's cool, but yo, this was definitely dope, man. I'm about to head on out of here. Hope you guys stay blessed, man. For real, stay blessed. Keep giving the glory to the Almighty, man. For real, won't he do it? Yo, it's your man Dre, a.k.a. Dre on Wells, for my dope guest, man, referee Vinny Lax. Thank you for coming on the show, and I'm out.